Welcome to the Spirit of Life Ministries. Spirit of Life Ministries' aim is to call to the born-again body of believers to manifest the kingdom of God through the teaching and proclamation of the Word of God, as well as the greater good for all humanity. Spirit of Life Foundation is based on Ephesians 4th chapter, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and fullness of Christ, to the edifying of the body of Christ in love. Spirit of Life Ministries' heart is for the restoration of the soul and greater good for all out of love. Please welcome now Sister Beatrice Jackson.
Thank you for joining Spirit of Life Ministries. I'm Sister B. I give honor to the Trinity Godhead, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for another day. Thank you for the opportunity to minister your word again. I ask that you open the hearts of the hearers in the name of Jesus and give me the grace to minister what you have given me. All these things I ask in Jesus' name, and I thank you for them. Amen. Well, praise God. Here we are. We've been talking about how the Lord is perfecting the things that concern us, because we're in a season where God is restoring our soul. He's perfecting the areas of our soul that have been neglected, especially those of us in the body of Christ. Sometimes we tend to neglect the care of our soul. We focus on the spirit, but forget the soul. He's also perfecting the areas that we've been hurting for a long time. The broken areas of oppression, the short definition of oppression means a prolonged, cruel, or unjust treatment or control. They are also the areas where we were left to ourselves and no one to help. But we know in Psalm 27:10, it says that when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The Lord will care for me. He will gather me to himself. He will do that for us. So where people have missed it, even when they were doing the best they could, the Lord, the Father, will take us up. He will gather us to himself, and he will care for us in the ways we have not been cared for, praise God. Also, the areas of our soul where wrong words have been spoken over us and set our life on the wrong course. Well, the Lord is building us up and making us suitable, and he's also perfecting any misconceptions. For example, like faith in denominations versus faith or believing faith in or believing on Jesus, praise God. He's dismantling those things and perfecting our faith in this area as well. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 23, and I'll be reading from the Amplified Version today. It reads, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you." Sanctify meaning set you apart through and through, that is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, faithful and absolutely trustworthy is he who is calling you to himself for your salvation, and he will do it. He will fulfill his call by making you holy, guarding you, watching over you, and protecting you as his own. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So this is what I'm saying. Now let's go to our foundation scripture found in Psalm 138. And while I'm going there, I want to say it's vital that we believe God's word about us, what he says about us, over our life's experience connected to our soul. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 138, verse 7 reads, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish that which concerns me." The King James says, "He will perfect that which concerns me. Your unwavering loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your own hands," and he will not, praise God. I want to start off by saying you, any of us that have lived in this present world, know this is a life that can be full of trouble. We're in the midst of trouble. We were born into a fallen world in the midst of trouble. So though we walk in the midst of trouble, the Lord will revive us. And he will also take care of our enemies. He will fight against our enemies because there are specific strategies or schemes that the enemy has set or fashioned against each and every one of us, specifically designed to destroy our lives. Verses 7 and 8 focus on our specific enemies of our souls, the areas of brokenness, the oppressed areas that are in need of healing, restoration, and even revival. So what can be some specific enemies? And there are far too many for me to cover all of our enemies. But I'm going to just spotlight a couple of enemies. Fear is one of them. Fear is one of them. Fear is an enemy. But Father has told us in Psalm 34, verse 4, where it says that I sought the Lord on the authority of his word, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Meaning, we can bring whatever fears we have to the Lord, and on the authority of his word, being faithful to his word, he shall deliver us from all our fears one by one. He also says, as a child of God, he has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 reads, for God has not given us the spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and authority and a spirit of love and of a sound mind, having sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. That's what us as children of God have. We have the spirit of our Father, praise God, and this is the spirit that we operate out of, not the spirit of fear, praise God. So we also need to look at where some fears can originate from. Some are spoken over us, and some can be because of the choices that we have made. We may have been putting our trust in man rather than God, or even ourselves rather than God. Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 25 reads, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his or her trust and confidence in the Lord will be exalted and safe, praise God. So here's where, if we put our fear in man, it could bring a snare upon our lives. It can be a snare to us. It could be a snare to our soul. But when we roll our trust and our confidence upon the Lord, it brings safety and exaltation, praise God. Let's go to Psalm 56. I also know that oftentimes when we've been left to ourselves, the tendency is to trust in ourselves, and that's normal. That's part of self-preservation as a human being. Yet it comes a time where we have to roll all that trust and confidence on the Lord. We have to get to that point, praise God. For the times that we are afraid, verse 3 reads, when I am afraid, I will put my trust and faith in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not fear. What can mere man do to me? And you know that is so true, praise God. When we get to the point where we begin to trust God, it doesn't matter to us what man tries to do to us, because we have seen, well, personally, I have seen God work in my life and override anything that man tries to do to me once I have began to put my trust in the Lord. Let's move on. Let's look at another enemy, which is shame. Shame can be an enemy, and this is not to be confused with guilt. Sometimes people get the two mixed up. Guilt is feeling, for lack of time, the short definition is, guilt is feeling bad about something that we did. Shame is feeling bad about who we are. And how does shame enter in? Sometimes it can, various ways. Sometimes it can enter in through other people's unrealistic expectations of us, and we're falling short of what they expect and begin to think we're not good enough. Or some people can compare us to others and say words like, well, why don't you be like so-and-so? Well, why don't you do this like so-and-so? Well, I want to ask you, what kind of message does that send to the child? One could begin to question themselves and say, well, what's wrong with me? How come I can't be like who I am? Praise God. Well, see, the word of God is the remedy, because in Ephesians 1, verse 6, the Lord lets us know how he feels about us, what his thoughts are towards us. In verses 4 through 6 in Ephesians 1 are talking about how God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, and that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. God predestined us as his children before the foundations of the world. We were in the bosom, in the heart of the Father. We were in the mind of the Father, and he accepted us in Jesus Christ. Once we accept Jesus Christ, we are accepted in the beloved. Already, it's already been predestined. And see, this is, he predestined us as the adoption of children. And when you adopt a child, you seek that child out. That child is not viewed as a mistake to you. He or she is sought out, wanted, praise God. And that's the way God sees us in Jesus Christ. We are accepted by him. So no matter what we do or don't do, whether we fall short, whether we rise or fall, with all our faults, God loves us. He's not going to love us any more or any less. He loves us. We are accepted because of who we are, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We need to chew on that, praise God. See, because the way we think of ourselves and the words which we let out of our mouth are the bridge to freedom. And this is what we're going to need to do. We need to fight words with our words, words that God says about us. He has given us the power and the authority to cooperate with his process that he's doing in us in our lives. Because Proverbs 18, verse 21 lets us know, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Did you hear that? We will bear the consequences or results or outcome of our own words. We say God's words and what he says about us. That's how we combat it. Praise God. Let's go a little further. Proverbs 4, starting at verse 20, it reads, my son or daughter, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing and health to all their flesh. Praise God. So do you see this? See, God's word is like a medicine. It's going to be important that we speak his word and meditate on his word and believe what it says about us. And meditation, and let me tell you what meditation does. It drives and embeds it into our hearts. It drives it deeper. And many of the issues of our heart originate by the words spoken to us and words we might continue to say about ourselves. So change, healing, and restoration of our soul takes place when we begin to speak and say what God's word says over what's been said, and meditate on what the word says about us and believe it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Because we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind over the things which have affected our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Well, praise God. That's all we have time for today. I do thank you for joining me. This is Spirit of Life Ministries. I'm Sister B, and until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Spirit of Life Ministries, an end-time ministry purposed for revival of the heart toward God. restoration of the soul for the hungry and the lost. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let those that hear say, Come. And let them that are athirst come. They that will, let them take the water of life freely." If you would like to contact or be a blessing to the ministry, Spirit of Life Ministries can be reached at 414-249-5121. Until next time, thank you and God bless you.